This is ARPI, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta Astars. Ron Kramer, a professor of sociology and former director of the Criminal Justice Program at Western Michigan University, no longer uses the term climate change. He calls it the climate crisis, a crisis caused by criminal actions. In his new book, Carbon Criminals, Climate Crimes, Kramer is ready to take the guilty to task. Rob White, in the foreword, refers to climate change as, quote-unquote, the most significant crime of the 21st century. So let's settle that debate here and now. What causes climate change? Is it really man-made, and not only man-made, but also a criminal act?
Well, there's simply no doubt that it's humanly caused. There are anthropogenic factors, as they say, human factors that are responsible. That's clearly established by the science. It's the activities that humans engage in, particularly the burning of fossil fuels and to some extent the efforts at causing deforestation that lead to the release of greenhouse gases up into the atmosphere. And of course, they trap the outgoing heat and then re-emit it and causes the earth to warm. And as the earth warms, and various forms of climate changes start to occur, climate disruption. So yes, it's definitely humanly caused. And my argument is that it does fall into the category of criminal act, because the organizations that are responsible for the burning of fossil fuels and to some extent for deforestation have known about this for years and years and years, and yet they've continued to engage in these activities that that lead to climate disruption. And certainly, you know, if we go back far enough to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, people weren't aware of what effect the burning of fossil fuels was going to have. But as we move forward into the 20th century, we certainly have very strong scientific evidence beginning to emerge early in the century, and certainly by mid-century, the evidence was very strong that we couldn't continue to do this. And yet, one of my chapters is on continued extraction of fossil fuels. And so at some point we knew that we couldn't continue to do this and, avoid climate disruption. And yet it was business as usual. There were economic and political forces that combined to keep us on a business as normal pathway, a pathway that did result in greater climate harm. And so that's one of the crimes that I'm discussing and analyzing in the book.
So as we get a little deeper into this, if you could define for our listeners a couple of phrases that you use, green criminology, and what do you mean by climate justice?
Green criminology is a term that was created by a criminologist by the name of Michael Lynch. He was interested in environmental harms and violations of environmental law. And so the term green criminology just came to him as a way to kind of capture this new focus within the discipline of criminology, that criminologists ought to be studying environmental harms and analyzing them and analyzing environmental law and the violation of environmental law and efforts that societies make to try to deal with those environmental harms. So that's what's meant by green criminology.
This is ARPBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. And climate justice, what would climate justice be?
Well, climate change is unfair.
Yes.
It's unfair in a lot of ways. One of the ways in which climate change is unfair is that it's often affecting those in the global south first and foremost. They have had the least responsibility for causing climate disruption. Their emissions are relatively low. They're not responsible for the problem, and yet global warming and the impact of climate disruption is affecting particularly the tropics area and causing all kinds of problems, storms and droughts and agricultural failures and increasing heat waves. And so the people in the global south are being affected, and yet they're not responsible. And so climate justice means that we would attempt to deal with their suffering, to try to respond to the concerns that they have first and foremost. And I think that can be extended into other areas. Often, of course, in even in northern industrial societies, the poor will suffer first and foremost from any kind of climate problems and climate disruption. Workers in the fossil fuel industry, for example, we know that fossil fuels are going to have to stay in the ground. And yet it's not fair to fossil fuel workers just to say, hey, you're out of a job. So there has to be some notion of a transition for workers in the fossil fuel industry into other areas of employment, particularly, of course, helping to create clean, renewable energy in a variety of ways, solar and wind. And so we need to have a just transition for workers that are likely to be affected. So climate change is an ethical issue. It raises all kinds of questions about fairness and justice. And so climate justice is just a broad term for us to think about and address those different forms of unfairness and see if we can do something to rectify them.
Who are the most guilty that you address in this book? And what is it that makes them so guilty?
Well, in the second chapter, I address the question of responsibility, who's responsible for climate disruption. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, we can identify 90 organizations that are responsible for about 70% of all the greenhouse gas emissions going back to 1751. There's actually been quite a bit of research on this. And so the term that those researchers use is the carbon majors. The carbon majors. And so mostly these are corporations. In some cases, they're government-run oil facilities. But there are a very identifiable group of organizations that are responsible for the vast majority of greenhouse gas emissions over the years. And so we really need to address the actions of the carbon majors. So, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is I use the concept of state corporate crime. That's a concept and theory that I developed with my friend Ray Michalowski many, many years ago. And it fits perfectly in with the analysis of climate change. It is a state corporate crime. It does involve both corporations in the fossil fuel industry and governments who have failed to take actions to mitigate their emissions and continue to encourage them to extract fossil fuels and continue to lead us down the path toward the climate crisis. And so, again, corporations and states have to first and foremost be addressed. Now, of course, we can all do things, you know, in our own personal lifestyle, right? We can all try to reduce our own carbon footprint in a variety of ways change our consumer behavior. But that's not enough. Even if everybody did that and did it very well, that wouldn't be enough unless we really get at the true source of the problem, which is the actions of these carbon majors.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Ron Kramer, the author of Carbon Criminals, Climate Crimes. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.